Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. Two-thirds of Americans are at risk of experiencing an electrical blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. These things are sweet because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable. Go to 4patriots.com/meateater to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/meateater. Telling you what, Dekt is a game changer. Dekt has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Dekt drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Dekt.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to Dekt.com/meateater and get yourself some free shipping.
This is the Meat Eater Podcast coming at you shirtless, severely bug-bitten, and in my case, underwearless.
We hunt the Meat Eater Podcast.
You can't predict anything.
The Meat Eater Podcast is brought to you by First Light. Whether you're checking trail cams, hanging deer stands, or scouting for elk, First Light has performance apparel to support every hunter and every environment. Check it out at firstlight.com. FirstLite.com. A little too hard. So you podcast listeners might have, we had a young man on recently who killed a big old bull elk, and his mother is whooping on an octopus right now. Alyssa, explain what you're up to.
I am tenderizing the octopus to put it on the grill.
Okay. I was observing earlier to Brody that there are as many ways to tenderize an octopus as there are arms on an octopus. You can put an octopus in a bowl. I've seen it done where you put it in a bucket and put some salt in the bucket and just punch the octopus. I've seen it where you whoop it with a stick, and I've seen it where you can pressure cook it, and there's probably more. And Alyssa's whooping it with a stick, and she is producing a recipe from the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Campfire. And this recipe was a contribution by our friend, the beautiful and lovely Kimmy Werner. And so, Alyssa, tell a little more about the recipe you're making today.
So this is, I'm going to be grilling the octopus over open fire and then putting a chimichurri sauce over it.
How accomplished are you as a cook?
I have never cooked octopus.
But how would you rate yourself generally as a cook?
I would say maybe a 3 or 4. I have 3 boys, so it's
out of 5.
Very, very plain cooking because they're pretty picky.
Did you ever work in a restaurant?
Yes, I did. I did for
in a kitchen.
No.
Front of the house.
Yes.
You got picky kids.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorites that you make?
We have Taco Tuesday every Tuesday.
Got it.
We have a lot of game meat in our freezer, so usually just whatever I can pull out of the freezer.
So you guys pull a lot of grind out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And take the grind and make things?
A lot of burgers.
Yep.
A lot of tacos.
Okay.
A lot of steak.
They can't be that picky because they're eating wild game meat.
No, but it's like tacos with cheese. Like, that's it.
Oh, I got
ground meat and cheese. Nothing exciting.
Yeah. So what would they think of the octopus you're cooking right now?
They would probably try this.
Oh, they would. Okay.
Yeah, they like seafood.
Yep.
They're big on, you know, fish and seafood.
Got it.
Just plain. And I don't know if they'd like the sauce with it, but they would like that.
So far as you're preparing this, and we have a bunch of people preparing a bunch of things right now. We're outside. We're going to walk through all the things we're making. But how did you find, and you can be honest, how was your experience working from the new outdoor cookbook?
I felt like the recipe was really easy to follow. Pretty basic steps. One reason I picked this recipe is because it seems simple enough that I could do it.
Got it.
And
where'd you get the octopus?
Steve.
That's my octopus.
Yep.
That's my octopus teacher.
Where did you get?
That's a Bahamian octopus. No, I don't know. No, you know what? I don't.
Alaska? No.
No, that's an Alaska octopus.
It's not the Alaska.
No. No. His arm, that octopus's arms were bigger than that. The midsection of his arms were bigger than that whole octopus.
Yeah, that thing was a kraken.
Yeah, it was a kraken. Okay, so you're gonna do keep whooping on it here. Did you flip it? Flip it and whoop it. Yep. Okay, and then your next steps are going to be you're gonna work it in some olive oil.
And some salt.
Okay. And then you're gonna move over to the open fire, and we have a fire of cherry wood going.
And then I'm gonna let it char for a little bit. I'm gonna cook it or put it on there until it's charred. And then pull it off and then just smother it in the chimichurri, and then I think cut it up in bite-sized pieces. That's it.
Okay, get moving. Keep All going. Right. Okay, we're going to move over to our next cook now. Seth, come on over.
Howdy. Hold on. I'm going to come over there.
Okay, Seth, start out by rating yourself as a cook and an outdoor cook.
Man, that's tough. I'm above average, I would say, but not far from average.
Got it. Yeah. Slightly above average.
Slightly above average.
Just for a little, so let me look. Seth is working from chapter one.
Yep.
Of the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, and here's how the book's broken down. Brody, I'll do one, then you do one.
Okay, if I can remember the order.
No,
I'll tee you up.
Yeah. Seth is working from section one, which is over the flames, which includes all manner of open fire cooking, traditional grilling, making burgers, making steaks, grilling octopus, basically anything you're doing where you have an elevated platform like a grill and you're cooking, as the title chapter says, over the flames. Section two is into the smoke. Take it away, Brody.
Yeah, pretty self-explanatory, but any kind of... we did a lot of smoking recipes, so it could be like in a smoker. Did we do it? It was all in smokers. Did we do anything? Well, pellet grills.
Pellet grills and smokers.
Yeah. So smoked trout. What are some of the other recipes we did that were smoked? I can't even remember.
From into the smoke?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. So we have lots of stuff about using smokers and all that.
There's a ton of how-to info.
Yeah, the deviled eggs are in that.
All the different methods that we're going to be doing right now. To give you, for instance, so an ancho cola ancho jerky, a summer sausage preparation, a brown sugar wild hog ham, hot smoked trout. We got salmon jerky, or salmon candy. Smoked American eel, hot smoked fish sausages, smoked and deviled eggs. Who's in charge of smoked and deviled eggs?
They'll share it.
They're gonna tag team doing smoked and deviled eggs right today. Smoked venison sandwiches, grilled wild boar ribs with peach glaze.
Those were good.
Mm.
Smoked bone-in hog roast, barbecue style squirrel. Brined and smoked turkey breast.
Ooh, I want to know more about
duck,
that squirrel recipe.
Smoked moose nose hash.
That's an involved one.
That's six pages.
Yep.
Braised and smoked wild game brisket. And that's it.
Yep.
Then from there we move into the under the coals section. Well, let's pick this up because we got to keep. We're going to come back. We're going to back up to over the flames and explain something. Seth today, for your listening pleasure, is doing a preparation from over the flames, and over the flames includes, so you have grilling, what you need to know, charcoal, lump, backcountry grates. This book is heavily informed by Ice Age cooking methods and also very modern cooking methods. Sticky and sweet grilled frog legs. Stuffies, which is a clam recipe. Beaver confit toasts. Cheeseburger poppers. Grilled tongue tartines.
What's a tartine?
Is it like a little puff pastry?
Little, it's like a little sando, little mini open top sando. Stuffed venison burgers three ways, which is where Seth's going to come in. Yep. A bunch of fancy ways to dress up hot dogs. So if your idea of outdoor cooking is to stick a hot dog on a stick, you can kind of amp that up and do fancy ways to dress up your hot dogs. Camp sausage.
Randall will be doing the hot dog recipes for sure.
Lettuce wraps. Wild game steaks, butterflied steaks, venison chops, like tomahawk chops with venison, how to do all that, grilled mackerel, grilled whole fish in foil, which is general how to grill basically any whole fish in foil, how to grill flat fish, so grilled whole flounder, any sort of flat fish or fluke, grilled lobster, seafood paella over an open fire, grilled octopus, octopus chimichurri, spatchcocking game birds, all kinds of marinades and other preparations for doing that, a Peruvian-style marinade for duck, wild turkey grilled, and that's it for that section. Now, Seth, talk about your prep.
So I did the bacon jam and blue cheese filling, so okay. I went ahead and made that first. Cook down, like, chunk up bacon, cook it down in a skillet, and then add some onions and some balsamic vinegar and some brown sugar. And you cook all that down. It, like, kind of caramelizes and turns into, like, a nice jam. I formed the patties from some elk burger that you had in the freezer.
You already did that?
Already did that. They're in the fridge chilling right now. And then when the time is right, I'll pull those out. And then I'll add the stuffing, which is that bacon jam, and then some blue cheese crumbles.
Okay, and Alyssa has a cook over an open fire, but you're cooking on a pellet grill.
Yep.
You happen to be cooking right now on a Camp Chef pellet grill.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, keep it.
The assembly for this one is a good one for kids to jump in on, too.
Because you're stuffing. Yep. It's how you're, like, forming a... Picture you're making a Hot Pocket.
Exactly.
You're making a Hot meat. Pocket, but meat is the...
The bread.
Dough is the meat. It's a hot meat Hot Pocket.
Yep.
Okay, great. You can get back to it, Seth.
Cool.
I think we should also point out, did you mention, like, we've got recipes that are everywhere from, like, elaborate showstoppers to, like, simple backcountry ways to, like, elevate backcountry camp meals?
That's exactly right. So we've been working on this for a few years.
Yeah.
And after we finished the Meat Eater Fishing Game Cookbook, we started working on this one. We've been working on it a few years, and for a long time, we never did it, but for a long time, we talked about calling it, you know, the Outdoor Cookbook, but it was backyard to backcountry.
Yep.
So right now, we're sitting on my porch, and the stuff we have a camp stove set up going, we have an open fire set up going, we have a pellet grill set up going. So by the definition of his outdoor cooking, be like, food that you make outside or food that you're making to eat outside. So just food that, like, food tastes better outside is how to prepare it outside. Stuff that you bring for outdoor things. You're going to a picnic. It's stuff you bring for that you can finish outdoors. It's things that you might take a few prep steps inside, then take it outside. It's things that you might make outside with stuff you fish and hunt for outside, and then you cook it only using materials that you found outside, like how to make grills out of willow limbs, how to make cooking setups with rocks, how to dig holes in the ground and cook stuff in a hole in the ground, everything but backyard to backcountry.
Yeah.
Super simple backcountry preparations.
So we have every recipe comes with an icon that'll show, like, backyard cooking, car camping, or backcountry. And some of them will fill all three.
Yep.
Some are one, some are two, but it's kind of, that's how we kind of informed the recipes that are in here.
And it's like everything from, it's also everything from, like, real blue collar working class.
Yeah.
Like poppers. I was out to eat the other night with Ronnie Bame, and we were talking about
his famous Dove Popper recipe.
He was like, you know, a lot of my birds that I get find their way into a popper. And I was like, dude, there's nothing wrong with poppers. Yep. And there's poppers in here, but there's also like much more, I guess, what you might regard as a somewhat more sophisticated dishes.
Yeah.
Either because they have elaborate preparations or because they're just, you know, like octopus and chimichurri. It's not, they don't sell it. It's not at Long, they don't have it down at Long John Silver's.
Yeah.
Is that still a restaurant?
I think so. Yeah.
I haven't seen one in a while, but I imagine so.
They're around.
Did you do it like you did previous cookbooks too, where you made it so that each recipe is not particularly just necessarily for one protein and you can sub
in? Yes. That was a big thing. So, we like Brody and I worked on the book really heavily, and we worked on the book really heavily with our cookbook collaborator Krista Ruain. And that was a big thing in doing it. Is I don't like this is something we explored in the Fish and Game cookbook, where I don't like when you open up a recipe book and it says like an antelope, you know,
yeah,
a pronghorn recipe.
Well, yeah, like today.
Or an elk heart recipe. It's like, is it really an elk heart recipe or is it like a heart recipe?
Right.
And is it really a pronghorn recipe or is it sort of like a animal with hooves recipe?
Yeah, the only, like, Alyssa, like, you got to use an octopus for an octopus recipe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you but can't like, put, like, dog in there.
Seth's Burger.
That ain't going to work.
Pick an animal for Seth's Burger.
Exactly. Know? So we clarify that, and even where
that being said, chimichurri goes on
anything.
Well yeah, on any protein,
sure, yeah, sure right. But the burger itself, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but listen, that when you make that chimichurri, you make a big batch and put it in the fridge because when you grill up a roast, there is nothing better than chimichurri on that. Alyssa, I would say you're about good on that, man. Is it that you're gonna wind up with pudding over there?
I was just trying to get the outer parts that I've been missing.
Okay. Don't whoop
She's
it so much that.
About it.
Yeah, I think you're good. I think you're good.
Don't whip the Kraken out.
And don't
of it.
Lose that cherry wood whooping stick. All right, Randall, you ready to come over and talk about where you're at, buddy?
I am.
Do you mind picking up on the? Do you mind Randall coming off back-to-back trivia wins? do you mind up picking up the smoked egg? The this is gonna, people are going to think this is weird. Earlier a minute ago, I was saying there's like working class, blue collar. You know, like for instance, if I had to. Like a preparation that I've been using my entire life and continue to use unapologetically is I'm a fish fry man.
Yep.
So we had a guy, we have a friend, Parker Hall. He's been on the show. He's been on the podcast, very opinionated about fish frying. And Parker Hall contributed a section on fish frying.
Which some
very opinionated.
Which
about
some
fish
people
frying.
Might be like, what? Outdoor. But
dude,
it's the best place to fry fish.
I don't fry fish indoors.
Yeah.
When I first started dating my wife, I did some indoor frying. And one day she's like, even the bath towels smell like fried fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we had a very small place back then. And you get to frying indoors. So I just moved the whole
and
operation.
That misted oil gets everywhere and then your walls get covered in grimy dust stuck to the oil. And
growing up, my old man he had an industrial deep fryer. Kind of. It was 110. He kept the deep fryer in the garage. And I've always said this, he would make you go up and turn it on to 375, but you couldn't come down until the light blinked off.
Yep.
So if he sent you to turn on the fryer, you had to wait there 20 minutes because you didn't tell him you turned it on. You had to say,
it's ready.
It's on and to temp.
Yep.
So you never wanted to get that job.
Right.
Then later, we had a porch, and he later built a fume hood. It's there to this day. He built a fume hood on the deck that vented out and then moved his deep fryer to where it sits now under that fume hood. So I think of fish frying as outdoor. And when Parker Hall fries fish, he sure as hell, you see this guy fry fish, dude? Frying up, I don't know, 10 pounds of flathead catfish. You're not doing that in the house.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I don't fry any fish in the house.
No.
I fry it outside. At our fish shack, we fry fish outside. Mm-hmm. So I think of fish frying as outdoor cooking, especially because one of the ways we talk about it is propane-fired, right?
Yeah.
How to fry fish over a propane-fired burner.
Yeah, those Cajun cooker type things.
So what
did
was
we
I
talk,
getting at?
Did we talk about the vessel to put the oil into? Like, do we get into it?
We're jumping ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, we're not because we're not going to cover that. Oh, yeah, but can you hold off on that, Yanni?
Sure.
But what I was talking about, there's good working class blue collar stuff like burgers, poppers, steaks, and there's also like something a little more fancy pants.
High cuisine.
Yeah. And this is like a thing like this came from Krista's. This wasn't my personal repertoire, but Krista Ruane is into the smoked. Everyone who's been to a church potluck has eaten a deviled egg. When I was a boy, and you went to the Twin Lake United Methodist Church potluck. Oh, my church I grew up in is splitting away from United Methodist.
Oh, big news.
7,000 7,000 Methodist churches have pulled away. I don't like to get into politics on the podcast.
Are they questioning the leadership or something?
No, over a policy issue. Mm. And so my mother's Methodist church has pulled away from United. They voted to splinter.
Their splinter organization.
Who's that feller back in the old days that came up and nailed the
Martin
13th?
Luther?
Yeah, it's like that. Nailed
95
the
rule, theses.
Nailed to the church
yep.
door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big news in Twin Town. They haven't updated their website yet, I noticed. But if
the great schism of Twin Lakes.
If you went to Twin Lake United Methodist Church back in 1984 and it was a church potluck, you would find a lot of macaroni salad. You would find ambrosia.
And the Jell-O molds.
And yep. You would find many deviled egg preparations. But Randall, help us through it.
I think it's a pretty...
What makes this one different? Right?
Well, it's a pretty standard deviled egg preparation, with the exception that we're gonna put these hard boiled eggs on the smoker.
Yes.
For about 35 to 40 minutes.
Yes, smoked deviled egg appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and here we get into this whole thing of like outdoor cooking, indoor cooking. You can, ahead of time, at home, at your leisure, hard boil some eggs. But then you come out. And you're at like your outdoor party, you're going to a barbecue, you're going to whatever, you're going on a 4th of July outdoor camping trip, you take those hard-boiled eggs and turn out the showstopper smoked deviled egg. Walk us through the process, Randall. Do you want to see it here? Because I know you have to commit this stuff to memory.
No, I mean, how's this? We hard-boiled some eggs.
I'm putting my damn glasses on, Randall.
And then they're going to throw them over the smoker, I believe, for about 35 to 40 minutes.
Low heat on it? It's got to be a pretty low
heat.
It's
a
low
heat. You don't want to lay
it. It's a low heat. And then we'll slice them and mix up the filling with the yolk, fill them, top them, and enjoy them.
Yeah, so this preparation, too, I'm trying to pull it up just for Randall's benefit and my own. You're taking what you're smoking is you're smoking the whole damn egg. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you're smoking the whole hard boiled egg, just as it is once you peel it, once you shell it, and then the filling is.
And it puts like a. It makes it look smoked.
I'm excited to see what it looks like.
What do they call that ring?
Oh, in barbecue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The smoke ring.
No, it's got a name. It's got this.
What's it called?
We used to call it the rind.
I don't know.
But there's a term for it. What's the term
rind's
for?
Different. I think this is a smoke ring.
Where you get the red that penetrates and you can always tell where it left off. Yeah.
Which brings up the point, this is not like a professional barbecue book. This is just outdoor cook.
There's a barbecue component to it. Yeah. But we kind of get into we get into a lot of the terminology. Like when you say you're smoking something, what does it mean? When you're barbecuing something. Because nowadays people say, I went to a barbecue. What'd you have? Hot dogs?
Right.
So there's technical barbecue.
Yeah.
Which if you went down to like Memphis and you say that you're going to barbecue a hot dog, you might get argued out of the room.
Right.
So we talk about all these different terminologies. Another great terminology thing we get into here. Are you good? No, you got another thing. What else are you gonna make, Randall?
I'm making the spicy fish cakes.
Okay.
And for that, I have diced up some perch that Brody brought, and
which goes back to the ingredient thing. I don't know what kind of fish.
I think
it's
just
there.
Sort of any sort of white fish.
Yeah.
And cut it up into 2-inch chunks. And then I've got it in the food processor there. and I'm chopping it up with some eggs.
And you've been pulsing it for some time now.
25 to 30 pulses. I saved a few to get on camera.
You know how in movies when there's like smoke drifting?
Yeah, well, listen, something bad happened to your fire. What'd you do to it?
I was trying to get,
Well, I'm going to, can you entertain everybody? Brody, take the cookbook and go into the next section.
All right.
I need to check on Alyssa's program over here.
Yeah, I knew this would happen at some point.
Seth, would you pulse my fish mixture a couple times?
So keep going on the fish cakes, Randall.
Yeah, so you pulse it up with the eggs, and then you add in a mixture of like breadcrumbs, some spicy brown mustard. I diced up some serrano peppers. And
mayo, Dijon,
that's
red?
For the sauce.
Oh, okay,
that's for
right,
the red mayo sauce, tomato mayo sauce. But the
so the peppers are what's giving
peppers,
it the kick.
Yeah, and
scallion.
That's right. That's what I was thinking of, and some like Creole seasoning.
Is there a sauce you serve with these things?
Yeah, so there's a tomato mayo. It's like tomato paste, mayo, some garlic.
I love
and
fish
some
cakes,
thyme.
Man.
So once I add all that into the mixture there in the food processor, I'll pulse it another 10 times and then I'll make some, cakes about 2.5 inches in diameter,
yep.
1 inch thick, like a crab cake,
yep.
like a small crab cake. And I will, bread it over there and some more breadcrumbs and then throw it into the oil. 6 minutes each side, pull it off, serve it with a squeeze of lime.
Lime or lemon?
Sorry, lemon.
You could do lime.
The citruses throw me off.
Green ones and yellow ones,
yeah.
and orange ones.
Yeah. Once I'm on the big stage here with the microphone, I confuse my citruses. But we'll give it a squeeze of lemon, and then serve it with that tomato mayo sauce. And I'm looking forward to it.
You could do all different kinds of versions of this recipe too.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? And so the fish mixture is then breaded. It's not that the breadcrumbs are incorporated
well,
there
into
are
both,
it or both.
There's 3/4 cups of breadcrumbs in that mixture. So there's some breadcrumb mixed in with the fish mm-hmm. mixture, and then I will also bread the outside.
Get
of
that
it.
Crisp.
Can I say, I'd like to speak to this for a minute. Do you mind?
No, please.
The floor is yours.
You're doing a great job.
I'm trying.
I want to tell you why any cookbook that we work on is going to have a fish cake recipe in it. Someday I might do a book just called Fish Cakes.
Cakes.
Here's why it's going to have a fish.
It'll be short, but
it'd be a pamphlet.
More of a pamphlet.
No, what's it
you
called?
Can nail it to a door.
What's it called? Remember, there's a word. There's like an old word. A monograph.
No, a monograph's a book.
No, but it's a short book. A monograph is a short book.
Steve, I disagree with you.
I know you're a trivia champ.
It'll be called Brody? On Fish Cakes.
Type up what a monograph is.
A scholarly monograph
is a short
is
book.
A big book.
No.
Randall's pretty smart, Steve.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Not when it comes to books, he ain't.
It's a detailed.
Oh, here we go.
Hey,
Seth, fan that way. Just put some heat on that. Put some wind on it.
When you publish a dissertation, it's often referred to as a monograph. You're turning your dissertation into a
it's
monograph.
It's a detailed written study of a single specialized subject or an aspect of it.
On Fish Cakes by Stephen
Rinella.
So, for
example, a series of monographs on music in late medieval and Renaissance cities. So it could be like a monograph on
fish cakes.
Fish cakes?
You,
on a specific kind of fish cake? I'm not sure.
It's
holy cow, Seth. Is that after I worked on it?
Yeah, this is your problem.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's Sprouty. Outdoor cooking for you.
Yeah. Well, no, that's me being over here.
There's a lot of variables at play.
It is, and we talk a lot about that. Let me touch on an aspect. Let me touch on
people.
An aspect of this book. Because it's outdoor cooking and there's invariables, right? Like when you turn your oven, when you're sitting inside and you turn your oven on 400, and if you got a decent oven, that son of a bitch is on 400, right? And you're like, okay, if you use a cup of this and a half cup of that, and it's at room temperature, and it's on 400. Like, I can say, cook it for 19 minutes or whatever. With outdoor cooking, it doesn't work that way. So we give a lot of guidelines, but one of the things I talk about, like, the book has over 100 recipes, meaning, like, tablespoon of this, cup of that, right? Recipes. But it also has a lot on methodology.
Technique.
And yeah. a lot on preparations, a lot on technique. And instead of telling you, cook it for 18 minutes, because I don't know, like, your fuel source could be different. You're cooking with mesquite. Someone in an area might be cooking with alderwood. You could have really dry oak. You could be cooking with some pine. I don't know.
It could be windy and blowing the heat away from your
yeah.
fire.
So rather than saying how many minutes, we're saying, like, you should expect that it might be within this time bracket, but here's what you're looking for. When you see this happen,
yep.
move on to the next thing. When you see this happen, move on to the next thing. If you're seeing this happen, you have a problem that you need to correct. So it's not like telling you, at times it tells you things of great specificity, but it also tells you like strategies so that you can cook outdoors in environments that are like unpredictable.
Yep, maintaining coals, stuff like that.
But now back to my monograph on fish cakes. What's the number one gripe you hear about pike, suckers, carp,
bony.
Buffalo,
bony,
bonefish,
yep,
tarpon?
Just yep. pulse bony. It a little bit.
Yep. Like those perch, I didn't take the pin bones yep. out of those things, you know?
And I love fish cakes because, like, for instance, my boy and his buddies like to go fish suckers down the road.
Yeah.
Now, when they catch suckers, we just take the sucker flay off, skin it, fish cake. Because you're incinerating the bone. You don't need to remove the bones. On Northerns, you don't need to remove the bones. If you're cooking like mackerel, bonefish, mullet.
Yep.
Or cooking bonefish, blend it.
Yep.
And you don't need to go in there and do all that elaborate like bone picking. When Randall's talking about two breadings, it's because, like, you can make a fish cake, but I'll tell you, if you want to make next-level fish cakes, make any fish cake in the world. Take that fish cake, and before you cook it, roll it in panko.
Yeah. Get that crispy
layer on
the outside.
Do you want to season
the
panko?
No, just a finish. Mm-hmm. It's like a fish cake is great, and a crab cake is great. Take a crab cake someday, and the last thing you do before you cook the crab cake, get a plate, put panko, and tap padded in panko, then cooked son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. When you cut that thing open, it's real satisfying.
Oh, it's like mm-hmm. crunch on yep. the outside. I remember reading this thing about a chef who was like, he was like a Michelin chef, and he quit. He got sick of cooking, and there was an interview with him. He said, I got sick of just spending my whole life trying to make things crispy on the outside and soft in the middle.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and run it down, you know, spread yourself thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What is the right amount of socializing for you? I know personally, this is a thing my wife and I debate about often. How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more time alone to gather yourself back up again. Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery and help you see patterns that you'd otherwise miss. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/meateater today to get 10% off your first month. And again, man, nothing to be ashamed of in finding someone private who you can talk to. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/meateater. Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year
for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You ready to get back to it?
I am.
Do you want to talk about your dish more, or you want us to make your damn dish?
I'm getting a little anxious to begin or to continue on with my preparation, but I will say that the one thing I appreciated about this recipe, I always like a recipe where you can do a lot of it ahead of time, and it doesn't say, do this while this happens.
Okay.
So I was able to mix up my my additions to the mixture there. I've got my breadcrumbs all set up over there at my station. So once I get rolling here, I feel pretty confident about my ability to execute.
And how many pulses are you at right now?
19.
Okay.
Which, oddly enough, is how I'd rate myself as a chef.
Don't overdo
it. Out of 1 to 10.
Out of 35.
You got to have some chunks in there. Can't be.
Yeah.
When I saw him over there dicking around, hitting that pulse thing, I was like, yeah, I thought he's going to wind up with a disaster. Then he revealed that he's actually counting.
I thought that it seemed like an oddly high number of pulses.
Well, use your best judgment.
Especially because I'm supposed to pulse it further once I add in the breadcrumbs and the peppers and stuff.
But let me tell you a little thing about cooking. You might already know this. When you're cooking, let's say you're cooking some cookies, baking some cookies, and you're working off a recipe and it tells you to bake them for 18 minutes, and you take a gander in there at 16 and they're done, what do you think in your head?
Well,
do you think I might better pull them out?
I like to follow directions. I like to follow orders. So I would have been a great soldier if it wasn't for the cowardice. give me a list of things to do, and I'll just do them.
So you're going to be like, I'm just going to let my cookies burn because, by God, it says 18 minutes.
With cookies, actually, I'd probably take them out because I had wanted to take them out for the prior 10 minutes.
Because you wanted to eat them.
Yeah, since they're raw dough, I'd been thinking about eating them, but most of the time, I sort of just leave it up to the recipe. That way, there's someone else to blame when it goes wrong.
Understood. You good?
I think I'm good.
Okay, I'll come visit you in a minute on your cooking.
All right.
Oh, and you're on the, we're going to jump ahead, but you're on the,
Camp Chef.
Yeah, he's working off of
like a
standard
double burner camping stove.
Standard Joe Blow 1-pound propane canister.
Yeah. Imagine that Randall is car camping or tailgating or something.
Yeah, and
like
I'm not an experienced deep fryer, so I'll be.
You're not deep frying. You're pan frying, buddy. Deep frying is
good thing that I
deep
I'm
frying
pan
is
frying because
deep
I'm
frying
not,
is immersion.
Gotcha. Well, clearly I'm not an experienced pan fryer.
You don't even know what you know. You're so inexperienced. Yeah. You know what
that's
it is.
That's why we did this book,
which is,
Randall.
Which is probably surprising for a man of my body type to not be an experienced deeper pan fryer, but I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, you're pan frying.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got a question for all of you.
Please.
About,
because I was ready to move into chapter 3, but hit us.
Oh, about the building a fire. I thought that that part was absolutely fascinating to see the different
Jan
ways.
Jan put a lot of work into that section.
I mean, I love that. Like, just to see all of the different ways, why you would do it one way over another, for what kind of protein or what kind of recipe or where you are. Yep. And then the coolest thing was making a fire inside of a stump. I'd just never seen that before. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very cool.
I'll touch on that a minute. So we kicked, when we began our discussion, with you getting to section one over the flames. But there is a very healthy bunch of introductory material. So there's a expertly crafted essay
pulsing
by a young writer, a promising young writer named Stephen Rennell. And then we get into this thing. So we get into using this book, which is a note on variability, where we explore the idea we were talking about a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Deer are different. Old bucks are different than young fawns. Cherry wood is different than mesquite wood. So all this kind of variability. We talk about how to use the book. We get into outdoor cooking appliances and kitchen setups. And then, like Corinne said, we get into a big thing about, then we got outdoor cooking kits. How to pack for car camping, how to pack for backcountry cooking.
That's my personal car camping kit. There's a picture of it.
Yep, Yanni contributed heavily in that section. Then we get into this thing, cooking over fire, okay? So starting a fire in all these different fire builds, cooking with different types of wood, where we explain different attributes of different wood, cooking fire builds, where all these different ways of constructing fires, and some are rather inventive. We got the log cabin or hashtag fire, stump stove, reflector fires, keyhole fires, then over the flames, which he discussed. And I want to jump ahead now to another section that we're going to explain. First off, how's everybody doing on their preparations?
Mine's on.
The octopus is cooking.
Oh, that looks good.
I'm waiting for the eggs to be done.
Now, Alyssa, don't be afraid to let that
char.
Let that bugger, you know, raise up. Seth, help her out. I don't want anybody to get burnt. Yep, loosen it.
There's an element of danger
lower.
Involved with outdoor cooking, too.
Higher.
True that.
Yep. There you go. Now, into under the coals.
Under the coals, burying stuff.
Yeah, under the coals.
Phil, you should grab a shot of what Randall's doing right now.
Under the coals is going to be, I would say this is the most, not esoteric, yeah. This is the oldest in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I say oldest in terms of time, like meaning this is some ancestral, ancient cooking strategies.
Burn the hide off of, cook something in its hide under coals kind of thing.
Yep. If you, we talk about this, you know, when I wrote the introduction to this, I mentioned this. In the introduction to this, I talk about where, if people are familiar with Montana being called Big Sky, the Big Sky Country. That comes from a novel. This is not widely known, I don't think. I didn't know this. I lived in Montana for years when I was younger before I knew that why they called it Big Sky Country. There's a novel by A.B. Guthrie, and it's like a mountain man novel called The Big Sky. And after The Big Sky came out, someone from the tourism board in Montana actually wrote A.B. Guthrie and asked them if they could use The Big Sky in a highway campaign, promoting like taking highway trips in Montana. And they were pushing the idea that you drive from Glacier to Yellowstone and experience the Big Sky Country. And A.B. Guthrie, the novelist, said, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And that's where Big Sky Country came from. In The Big Sky, he talks, there's a lot of cooking that happens in this mountain man novel, The Big Sky. And one, the kid, when the kid that becomes the protagonist runs away from home, early on, one of the first meals they describe is he has some cornmeal. And he makes a little dough with cornmeal and makes balls and just drops the balls into the ash. And then he takes a rabbit and bones out a rabbit and sticks the pieces to a rock and tips the rock up facing the flame, and that's the first meal in The Big Sky. Later in The Big Sky, his favorite meal becomes burying a deer head in the ash. And if you read other mountain man accounts and long hunter accounts, they would oftentimes just take a hunk of meat. So say you take a sirloin from a deer, and they don't even wrap it. They just bury it. And then later, you carve away, scrape away and carve away the outside, and just, like, that's it.
Yep.
That's it. Or people would take a whole, a marmot, or take a dog, and just burn the hair off and bury it. Mm-hmm. And then dig it up, scrape the outside away, cut off the skin, and eat the cooked meat. So it's like an old cooking method.
Is there anything in there where you've, like, you've gutted an animal and you've stuck hot rocks in it and closed it up?
That is a thing, but it's not, we don't talk about that. But now you make me feel it's the only thing we didn't put in the damn book. Damn it. Why are you bringing it up now? Edit that out, Phil.
Volume 2.
Sorry, Steve.
So this covers, this is kind of, this brings up something a little bit funny.
We can do a little monograph about rocks inside yes. the rib cage.
This covers cooking food directly on coals. Okay. This covers cooking in foil packs under the coals. It covers Dutch ovens, and it covers pie irons. And
Steve's this brought up favorite.
This is my favorite subject. When I was a boy,
times they are a changing.
I still call them this, by God. When I was a boy, it was a hobo pie. When you said, and you just have to take my word for it, when you said a hobo pie when I was a boy, you were not conjuring an image of someone in contemporary times being down on their luck and homeless.
Like a transient worker type.
You were conjuring a guy from the Great Depression who kept his possibles in a handkerchief tied to the end of a stick.
Yep, over his shoulder.
And he had some coal dust on his nose. And he had a bottle of old booze with X's on the bottle. And he lived and rode the rails.
Freedom.
And he was the kind of guy you dress up with as for Halloween.
Yeah.
And if you went back to my school and you went into a class of 24 kids, two of them were dressed on Halloween. Two of them were dressed up as this guy.
Yep.
And they, nothing they liked more than a hobo pie.
I just made a note for when I'm preparing for trips, you know, I like to make a little note that says like family turkey trip. And then I'll just like start listing things I don't want to forget. And I just started mine for my family turkey camp and added in iron pie makers and ingredients.
Do you mind walking over to that ceramic pot there,
no,
Corinne, and
no
producing
problem.
One of my hobo pie makers from there? Keep right next to the fire.
Oh, the green one?
Yeah. You know where my parents kept the hobo pie
oh,
makers?
These. You mean
yeah.
these?
Yeah, those, Corinne.
My dad had somewhere along the line gotten himself a mailbox, like a newspaper mailbox. Screwed it to the wall, and that's where the hobo pie makers were kept. So here's a double, which didn't exist when I was a kid. But what's funny about this is if you go onto Amazon right now, here's a double for making Whoppers, and Kryn's got a single. If you went onto Amazon right now and typed in hobo pie maker, you will pull up exactly what you're looking
right.
for. But you will find that the keyword you use to search it
is not in the title.
It's not in the description.
Yeah.
So some guy was like, man, people are going to be looking for hobo pie makers. I don't want to write that, but I don't want to lose the customer. So they've done keyword optimization around a keyword that is actually not in the description.
Yep.
Seth, do you mind sharing what you guys called them over in Pennsylvania?
Mountain pies or moon pies?
Yep.
Both, I've heard.
Chester had some
pudgy pies.
Pudgy
yeah.
Pie.
Yeah.
Can you like make a grilled cheese?
I mean,
is
pudgy?
It, you just do anything you want?
Let me tell you, there's two that we knew that I used to know. I've always been nostalgic for these. I love using them. We did two preparations as kids. And not just us, but just in general. Well, there's three, but we had two favorites. Then there's a third classic. Velveeta cheese.
Mm-hmm.
The key is you butter both sides of the bread, put some Velveeta
Wonder
in there,
bread.
Close that sucker up, and make the most badass golden brown grilled cheese you ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You do PB&J. Okay, so you butter both sides of the bread, do peanut butter and jelly in there, or you go down to the store and get yourself a can of cherry pie filling or apple pie filling.
Oh, okay.
Butter both sides of your bread, put the cherry pie filling in there, close that sucker up, and do it. Mm. But we have like some kind of fancy pants.
All sorts
pants.
Of them, man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, fancy pants and like as far as the ingredients go, but it's not like hard to make them.
The section is called Iron Pie Sandwiches, or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
Hey, quick question. Have you ever tried to do it with a, what I would call it, a healthier bread than just straight up Wonder Bread?
We talk about that. Yeah. I don't actually use Wonder Bread because the problem is you need a large format bread. You need a good size. But yeah, you go to a bakery. You need a good size bread. So when you're shopping for your bread, and we explain all this in the book. Take note of the dimensions of your pie iron, right? Because if you got a pie iron and you get out in the campground and realize that your bread doesn't because you need to have overlap.
Yeah.
Because when you close that pie iron, it's sealing. We talked about Hot Pockets earlier. When you close the pie iron, it presses and seals it, right? So you need overlap on all sides. But it doesn't matter. You can use great. Good quality bread. Just
what's
have
that
the right bread
they use for French toast a lot?
Brioche.
Challah.
Brioche is a good
brioche
one.
Brioche is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You don't want too home baked of a bread where you get the big air pockets.
Like not crusty bread, chewy bread.
And you don't want you do a sourdough and you open that sucker up and it's got like centimeter air pockets.
Yeah.
You're just gonna be losing your ingredients out of there. When I say fancy pants, we have one where you can take. Turkey, grouse, pheasant, whatever, like a game bird one. Cheddar and fig. So fig jam and cheddar. It's a grown-up preparation. Yeah.
You might see it called a panini in some cafe somewhere.
Ah. Yep.
We get into this. 10 of our favorite iron pie combos. Peanut butter and jelly or honey on country white bread. Yanni. A cooked ground meat burger, onion, American cheese, ketchup. And brioche.
Mm.
Okay. A ground burger and a shredded fowl, so shredded game bird, taco seasoning, Mexican cheese, sliced ham, pimento cheese, pickles, and sourdough. Cooked bacon or breakfast sausage, scrambled eggs, cheddar cheese, flour tortilla, brioche, or sourdough. All in a hobo pie. Iron pie. Smoked salmon or trout, cream cheese, dill, chives, pickled red onion on sourdough. Duck, gorgonzola, pancetta, onion, jam. Preserved cherries on sourdough. Pepperonata, sourdough. Sauteed mushrooms with grilled zucchini and gouda on sourdough. Or
For
go to the grocery store and get yourself a big can of. Or get a big can of cherry pie filling.
Yep.
It's up to you. In here also we talk about burying stuff in the ground. And a lot of times
can we talk just a little bit more about iron pies?
Oh, please.
Kids love them.
Kids, nothing they like more than iron pie.
But they're also one of the potentially most dangerous food items for kids. Like, you got to let them cool off because that stuff's like lava on the inside. If you've never made these things, just keep that in mind.
Funny thing about kids, you see these white chairs we're sitting on. Someone was videoing something back here one time, we were just hanging out, family and friends. And when you watch the video, what became funny to us wasn't what was happening in the video, it's what you see happening in the background. And my little boy Maddie is roasting a marshmallow in that fire pit right there, fireplace. And you see him, and he's pondering. His hands are coated in marshmallow. And you see him like contemplating his hands. And he looks at these white cushions. And he kind of goes. And then you see him like, actually, I lost the video, which is such a bummer. You see him consider it for a minute and then change his mind and just do the old front shirt wipe.
Yep.
And then he like leaves the frame. But he's like, a fella could just whiten right there.
Yeah, blend right in.
Yep.
Oh, Maddie.
No, that smells good, Randall.
Yeah, oh, it does.
Randall. Good, buddy.
So good.
Looks good.
Beautiful fish cakes. What I wanted to say on digging holes in the ground is sometimes you don't have a great place to dig a hole in the ground. So we got some builds here and preparations here where you get yourself a 55-gallon drum. Meaning if you're in Alaska, just look around. You'll know what I'm talking about. if you're anywhere else, they're not hard to find.
Yep.
A barrel, a 55-gallon drum, cut that sucker in half. If you and your neighbor find a barrel and cut it in half, you each got a thing now.
Yep.
So we talk about how to roast a whole deer shoulder or any chunk of meat like that, how to roast 6, 8, 10 pounds of meat in a barrel.
Yep.
You don't need a hole in the ground.
If you live somewhere where it's like there's no way you're digging your yard up or something.
If you got a wheelbarrow full of wood, in some dirt or sand in a half of a barrel, you can set it out on a concrete slab.
Yep.
And do luau style in the ground cooking. And you can cook anything.
And that particular preparation, like, we worked hard to get it right.
My old man, he used to canoe the boundary waters a lot. He would say, we don't put this in the book, which I kind of wish we had. They would get a fire going and then lay down any kind of clay, like heavy clay mud, and make a bed of heavy clay mud. Then they'd put all kinds of leaves down, any sort of green leaves you could find. Mm-hmm. Then they'd set a fish down, and then they'd pile a bunch more green leaves on that fish and then smear a bunch more mud and clay over the leaves and then cover that up in coal and then later break that open and eat walleye like that.
Yep. Mm.
We didn't put that in the book. We kind of put it in the book, but not really.
Right.
A lot about foil packs. Any you like to add, Yanni?
No. I don't know. Foil packs, man. I mean, that's a classic. I grew up doing that at Boy Scout camps. Latvian Boy Scout camps.
We got salmon, a bunch of salmon and trout preparations that are under the coals. Skimming ahead. Oh, we got how to cook. This is a good one. Cooking a venison roast underground wrapped up in a kitchen towel.
Yeah.
A wet-ass kitchen towel.
That's the one I was talking about that we had to work hard.
Is that in foil or does the towel touch the meat?
No. It's wrapped in a wet towel.
Huh. And then it's buried.
Yeah, because you're making a no-oxygen area.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Not octogenarian. A low-oxygen area.
Uh-huh.
But an octogenarian could do
it. But an octogenarian could do this. And stuff in his house.
and how deep are you sticking that?
Where it don't burn. Down mm-hmm. good.
You'll be sacrificing the towel, though. Like, that thing will get charred, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna ruin your towel. You could probably do it with an old T-shirt. Felt like it.
Just make sure that there isn't.
And when you unwrap it, tell people, see that? That's my old shirt.
Yep. Escape the fire.
Should
that
towel be 100% cotton or... You know, polyester blend.
Yeah, no.
Be careful, everybody.
Chemically treated, you know.
That's the thing with burlap, too. When you're buying, when you're cooking with canvas, mm-hmm. you know, canvas tarps and stuff, you don't want treated canvas tarps. Right. Here's one that I love a lot is whole vegetables roasted in coals. You can take, and we explain it here, there's stuff you want to wrap in foil. There's stuff you don't need to wrap in foil. You can cook fennel bulbs just in the fire. Mm-hmm. You can cook butternut squash just on the coals. Like lay a butternut squash on the coals and roast it. We explain how. Deer shoulder in a barrel. Bear grease, Dutch oven biscuits. That was a contribution from Clay. Goose and dumplings cooked in a Dutch oven. Dutch oven rabbit with cabbage. Then, on to where Randall's working from right now, and this is kind of my favorite section, on the burner. So this is outdoor cooking, cooking on a burner, on a camp stove, on a crab pot, whatever, cooking on a burner.
Oh, that all looks the, like
And we go through all different sorts of burners from,
all manners
from
of
little
ways.
Micro, you know, backpacking stoves to great big, you know, Cajun boilers.
Skillets, griddles, and pots, what you need to know. We got a cast iron. So propane stoves, outdoor cookers, griddles, backcountry stoves. We got a big primer on cast iron. Then we get into spicy fish cakes, where that's where Randall's at. Moroccan-ish. So there's no cultural appropriation in this book.
Borrowed a little bit.
Moroccan-ish venison meatballs. Oh, you ready, Randall?
Let's eat.
Oh, my goodness, Randall.
Those look so good.
That must have been a hell of a cookbook. For a guy
looking
like Randall.
Good. For a guy who doesn't
Seth,
know how to fry stuff.
A guy like Randall.
This is a good test here.
Oh, the dipping sauce?
Ooh. Randall, you got
Randall, you
one.
Dirty dog.
I've got eight more to go in. Okay.
Hot.
Yeah, they look hot.
Digging in. I'm putting the sauce. I'm putting Randall's dip. I'm spooning his dipping sauce on there.
Phil, you want a bite?
I'll get there eventually. Just save a little bit for me.
I went no sauce first bite. It was delicious as is.
Oh, Randall.
Very good.
Let me tell you something, too. My kids would be like, they'd be wanting ketchup. And not dipping sauce.
Right.
They would love it.
Yeah.
Right.
And when it says spicy, it's not like the only thing you're tasting is the peppers. It's just like there. And you can taste the fish too.
Oh, I don't even know what to say. I'm beside myself. Isn't that unbelievable?
You just keep talking while we're eating over here, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Randall.
Oh, man. That sauce recipe is also great. There's flawless. A lot of garlic in there. Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, see, that's where Krista's good at stuff, man. Like, Krista, because I'll be kind of like a lot of how we work together is there's, like, stuff we'll make, meaning we eat a lot of bony fish. So I'm like, man, I like doing fish cakes. I like to make them crispy. And we'll make like this and that sauce. I don't know how.
Tartar sauce or whatever.
Yeah, or I'll call my buddy. I'll say, hey, what was that sauce you made that one time? He'd be like, oh, I think I did, right? Maybe that. I can't remember if I did that. But working with like a really good recipe tester and developer, she'll make it 10 times. Do you know what I mean? And instead of you saying like, oh, I kind of use, you know, I'll be like, well, yeah, I use a lot of mayo and I use some lemon and I use some paprika, but I don't know. Or if not, sometimes I'll put dill because you don't. When you're cooking, you don't always, you're winging it.
Yeah.
And so with a really good developer, you get where it's just like dialed and all the guesswork's pulled out, you know?
Crispy this sauce, it so complements all the flavors in the fish cake.
Mm-hmm.
And using serrano.
Oh, lemon.
Oh, God.
Damn it, Randall.
Would fry your ass for not
well, that tells you how good they are. We didn't even need the lemon.
God, okay.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, meaning you put them on, they feel great. Little or no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Just ask my buddy Chili, who's been slipping around in his Tecova boots, talking about how great he feels in them. He loves them.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable. They're very fashionable. And I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go around Bozeman.
Stop by your local Tecova's store. Have a complimentary drink and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today. This show is brought to you in part by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. Big ones, little ones. When you keep these things bottled up, it can start to affect you in a very negative way. Well, therapy is a great space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Like, figure it out. That means figure it out with someone who's impartial, who's able to sit down and hear what you have to say and think it through with you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Listen, there's no such thing. It's like, you're not so tough that it doesn't do you some good to talk to somebody now and then about what's on your mind, okay? Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/meateater today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/meateater. Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something, because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MEATEATER.
Okay, I'm still in my what's it
on
called?
The burner.
I'm still in on the burner. So.
There's a lot of other good ones in there.
Miso udon noodle soup with salmon. Oh, venison chili. A whole big thing on vac sealing. So this means vac sealing, what it means is reheating pre-cooked meals at camp. So it's a bunch of stuff about what you can cook at home and vac seal and then drop into a pot of boiling water and heat in the bag or dump into a skillet and prepare at
camp. In some cases, that's like your whole meal in that bag. In some cases, it's like a portion of a meal that you're going to like throw together.
That you're going to finish out.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're not done yet, but that's what they look like coming off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that. That's pretty.
Yeah.
You see those.
Wish we knew that.
Can I just have one? No, I'll eat later.
Wish
Cuban
knew
style
that word.
Rice with rabbit, garlic miso shrimp, ginger catfish stir fry, which is phenomenal. Tossed noodles with ground venison.
That's really good.
Venison stir fry with cabbage. Penne with sausage and peas. Louisiana style crayfish, blue crab, and shrimp boil.
That's your big, like, party recipe there.
Yep. Then a big old section called simply how to fry fish.
I'm sure your buddy would be very happy that you have a dedication to that topic.
We got a torta with wild turkey, like a Milanese torta with wild turkey. Thermos ramen, courtesy.
Upgraded ramen. Upgraded backpacking ramen.
Yep. Then we get into, within it, camp breakfast, lunches, and snacks. Souped up toad in the hole. That was my dad's camp preparation when I was a kid. So we do a toad in the hole, which is like a gourmet toad in the hole. A big thing about making coffee. We got a recipe called the late Eugene Groder's beer and apple pancakes.
Very good.
A Monte Cristo sandwich. And then we're getting ready to move into five, but we got to stop for a minute, we're going to eat some stuff.
Alyssa, thank you.
All right, Alyssa,
you.
Come
did
over.
You, yeah, did you try it? You got to try it.
I have a lot left over.
Oh, that's great.
Do we need a knife for slicing that sucker? Or is that, it's already
with
chopped
some
up.
Some forks would be good. We'll just finger food it. All right, Alyssa, you want to tell us what your experiences were here?
I'm a little intimidated that I didn't cook it enough.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to burn it. Mm. I mean, I knew it needed to be charred. But.
No, you got it.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Is it tender enough?
It's tender enough because you whooped it good.
Okay.
You could have charred it a little more, but it's phenomenal.
Okay.
Oh, that's a lot.
I should have pointed out to you, char it, the octopus, char it until the ends of his legs are burnt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? They'll look like legit burnt and start to curl up, and that's when I pull them off.
It wasn't until they were wrapping around the grates.
like it was alive when you first put it
on.
They grab on to that.
Great. Yeah. He's like, really good. No, you'll never get me off the grill. I'm so smart.
He did a great job whooping
that
so one.
That's so good.
Mmm.
Your boys would eat that up.
Well, listen, you nailed it.
Did you try it yet?
No.
No, you didn't try it?
Man, I like that stuff. Awesome job.
Oh, that's really good.
The charring makes it.
Mm-hmm.
When you get those little bites of the char.
So how did you like cooking over the open fire?
That was intimidating, only because I've never used that before. I don't
like my particular grill.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But
my buddy made that for me.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome.
My buddy Ronnie made that.
I don't know how to use it, so it was kind of.
For our audio audience, can you explain what that is? It's kind of like an elevator situation.
Oh, the grill?
Uh-huh.
Oh, years ago, I was in West Texas, and these guys had a grill like that. It's just like a elevated, basically, it's a fire table, a round fire table, maybe 5 inches deep, on a tripod legs, on three legs, so the fire table sits waist high, and then it's got a framework above it with a grill that you can adjust. So what is that, 20 inches in diameter? Maybe low 22-inch diameter fire table with an adjustable grill on it. And I love that thing. It's great for any kind of, like, small-scale cooking. And it says TLI on it. My buddy Ronnie Bame, he's retired now, but that was his company, Twin Lake Installations. I sent him a picture, and he welded that up for me many, many, many years ago. And that thing, there's nothing ever going to happen to that.
Solid.
No. There's a product that's made commercially now that's
bunch of
similar to that right now. Kudu grills,
yep.
I think.
Yep, Kudu grills. There's a bunch of them now.
Good job, Alyssa.
Oh, the octopus
thank
is good.
You. That's so good. I'm going to go in for more. Steve, are you able to
Yanni, do me a favor. Start walking people through on the spit.
Now that I got my mouth full of octopus.
So I want to have a little more fish cake, too.
Mm.
Oh, what's
damn,
that picture
turned out
of?
Good.
There's some birds wrapped around sticks.
Yep.
Take it away, Giannis.
On the spit. So as you can imagine, these are recipes where meat is skewered on things that you would consider like shish kebab type skewers, and then all the way up to bigger
crucifixes.
Yeah, you could call it that. I mean, literally, you know, 2-inch, you know, limbs, and then also rotisserie devices. That all counts as on the spit. And again, what you're going to get mostly out of here, yeah, there's some good recipes, but you're going to get the how-to, the skills to know how to do it with any bird. And once you do it with a duck or a grouse, then you'll know how to do it in the future with anything else. Detailed photographs. Seth did some of the photography in this book, didn't he?
Oh, he did a ton of the photography.
Is fantastic.
Seth, as well as our good buddy John Hafner. Let's see. A couple of the recipes I'm looking at here. Big game heart skewers. Sheep skewers. Must have used some of my bighorn for that one. Crying tiger skewers. Yee. What makes the
well,
tiger
you gotta
cry?
Get a tiger. You tell him a sad story.
Mm.
And then he
cut his heart out and
put it on a skewer.
Oh, the subtitle there says with hearts of duck or upland bird.
What kinds of proteins lend themselves well to this skewer situation, do you feel?
It's everything on there. Well, there's veggie skewers, tuna and tuna skewers, yellowtail skewers.
I think when it comes to fish, you'd have to use a pretty meaty steak-like fish. Yeah. You know, perch would not go well on a skewer.
I'll tell you the thing that I think that is the meat that is transcendent on a skewer is duck hearts, turkey hearts. Mm. Any kind of game bird heart,
something that
chicken hearts
fast,
because you can make them good, but man, they're good like that. I love them like that. Or sometimes you can simmer them in pork fat and then skewer them and grill them. And that crying tiger is like a, you know, like a Chinese inspired.
Yeah.
This is one of Steve's pride and joy.
Yeah.
Recipes in the cookbook.
If any of you guys that have traveled down to, areas in Mexico where they, you'll see that pork dish where they have that vertical, that vertically oriented spit in a burner, and they make tacos El Pastor.
Yeah, you see that in a lot of different cultures.
Yep, in Greek cuisine, they use a similar thing. In Mexico, they call it a trompo. So it's you take all this, you take out a bunch of your roasts, okay, like your venison roast, elk roast, whatever, pig, anything, and you make a bunch of thin slices, and then you marinate all those slices, okay. You marinate all the slices, and then you put them on a vertical skewer, and it makes like you're making a column of sliced meat. And you roast it like that, and it spins, and you cook it. And then you just shave off the outside into tacos.
Yep.
And so we get into trompos. And the trompo that we use here, my buddy Ronnie just welded it together. Like just a garage, you know, a garage job.
It's kind of
job.
A vertical rotisserie, kind
yep.
of.
And then, then later, I had mine, you had to hand turn it.
Yeah.
So later I had Travis Barton from Barton Fabrication. He put a rotisserie motor, which you can just buy at Ace Hardware. He mounted a rotisserie motor underneath it. So you can just plug it into the wall, fill it full of charcoal briquettes, and just cooks that son of a bitch.
That was one of my favorites.
In 100%. That was one of my favorites to eat. That was delicious.
God. Oh, Dr. Randall.
Take a load off and enjoy some food.
A little more inconsistency here on the coloration.
Well, one thing I'm getting concerned about is what happened to Seth's food?
Seth is...
he's probably stuffing
like he's
the
grabbing condiments now. See a little bit of mustard, ketchup, spicy brown mustard.
Now, listen, I want you to know, I just had a piece that was kind of like octopus sashimi.
Sorry.
Quite all right.
It was still delicious.
Very good.
For your first attempt, it's great.
I actually like it better like that.
I think I made the mistake of kind of pulling it off the direct heat a little bit, just because I was worried it was, I didn't want to burn it, but.
Right.
Keep going, Yanni.
Spiked fowl. Oh, no, this one's worth mentioning and talking about. The kofta kebabs. Just like basically.
Oh, this is a good one to talk about.
Ground meat with spices that you form around a skewer and then cook.
A flat skewer.
Yeah.
So let's say you're the kind of guy that got a deer and you took it to the butcher and said, just grind the whole damn thing.
Which is not uncommon.
And now you're bummed because you want to have some kebabs. Well.
Look at that. Those look good.
But you can see that skewers are like almost like a knife shape, flat.
Yep. Yep.
But you're forming ground meat around a skewer. That's like, it's like Greek-ish.
And you just take that whole thing off.
Yeah, you can get it off. Yep.
Yeah, I've had that in Turkey, Palestine. Yeah, like Middle East.
There it is.
Greek, yeah.
Yanni's.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know how this one makes it to this, on the spit section. I guess it's.
Because suspended.
It's suspended?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we have two soup recipes in here. One is a... did Richard Martinez... did he bring us the turkey chili verde soup? Or is it just a picture of him that just happens to be there?
That happens to be in the picture.
That stuff is awesome.
Yeah. Turkey chili verde, man, it's one of my favorite things to do. Or the pozole that we have in the other cookbook is one of my favorite things to do.
What's
with turkey legs.
Again?
Well, I mean.
Pozole with mountain lion.
It's like a a dish with a
hominy.
Yeah,
like
a limed corn.
Yeah, yeah. Those big.
A lot of times
those,
it's like a tomatoey base, but the one that we did in the last cookbook was more of a green chili base. But the recipe that I contributed. I sort of shared it after trying it out in Latvia a couple years ago when I was over there hunting for lunch. We had a big old cauldron of this soup called Sojanka, which I asked the ladies that prepared it, and they said they really didn't have a recipe. But I said, well, anyways, just talk, and I'll just record it on my phone. And in the end, it basically sounds like a fridge emptier, but it's great.
I mean, and it's
delicious.
It's like a traditional dish to feed a bunch of hunters, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think what, you know, kind of makes it meat eater-ish is that there's venison chunks in there, there's wild game sausage in there, and then sort of you just add vegetables, pickles, whatever else you have to season it all. It's simple. It's delicious.
All right, I'm going to take over on the – thank you for that, Yanni.
You're welcome.
I'm going to take over on the final section, six. On the side, which covers your salads, sides, desserts, and drinks. Now, we got into hobo pies, mountain pies, iron pies earlier. And in this section, you get into iron pies that are like dessert-type iron pies, okay? Bunches of salads, all kinds of dressings, all right? Coleslaw, that's a classic outdoor dish. How to do Boston baked beans from scratch. How to do refried black beans, camp stove rice. Then some vegetarian dish appetizers, grilled eggplant, chickpeas and marjoram mint dressing. A lentil stew, so side dishes there. Kevin Murphy's Kentucky buttermilk cornbread. Savory cheese biscuits, all cooked outside.
Wait, is his recipe sweet or savory for cornbread?
Savory.
Okay.
And then we get into sweets, peanut butter s'mores, Nutella and banana iron pie, a bunch of other iron pie variations. A really crazy one that I love, coal roasted bananas, which are like way better than you think they would be. A coal roasted banana, coal baked fall fruit, how to make like just kind of like different sweet breakfast dishes, how to cook a chocolate cake on a camp stove. You're cooking a chocolate cake by steaming it on a camp stove.
Is it like souffle-ish?
No, it's cake. It's
no
cake-ish.
Kidding.
It's cake. Mulled cider cooked over a fire pit. Pitchers of red beer, cocktails, camp hot chocolate, Moron coffee, and then a bunch more extra stuff. A whole big section I'm not going to bore you with right now. Brines, marinades, dry brines, and rubs.
I've never had Moron coffee. Is that it's like for people that don't do the fancy
not
stuff?
Not for Moron. More on the subject. Additional information on the subject of coffee.
Yeah, we have a big section on coffee, man. Cowboy coffee.
Various ways to make coffee. Okay, you guys ready? What are we doing next? Oh, the stuffed burgers.
Stuffed burgers. Here, I got some buns.
That's
let's hit the,
be
let's hit
good.
The devils.
Forthcoming.
Look at that beautiful burger. And it just for
nice work.
That's beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
That's
guys.
Beautiful.
Hopefully they're not too done or too underdone. I wasn't using them.
Man, what a nice finish it does on the egg.
Yep.
Nice did you work. Try it yet?
Mm-mm.
Come
no.
on.
Let me get a knife to cut those burgers over.
The smoked deviled egg is really good.
Yeah. Need that one for the wall. Here's-
Yeah, picture a deviled egg with a kind of a cooked egg.
Mm.
Walk us through it, Randall. Give us the experience.
Well,
how would you rate your cookbook experience?
Here you go.
Mmm.
A delightful smoky bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. A fun mixture of flavors. All the creamy, rich goodness that you want in a deviled egg.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of smoke to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Goes down smooth.
And it
barely
alters. If you've been eating deviled eggs your whole life,
mm-hmm.
smoking that egg alters the texture of the egg's exterior.
Yeah
it's a little more toothsome.
Yeah, so instead of having like a slimy little bugger,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a cooked. It's like textured and cooked and looks kind of smoky.
Oh, that's very nice.
A little more al dente? A
little more al dente.
Yep.
A little more al dente.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, Seth, hit it.
Burgers.
So, Seth, how would you rate your experience working with the book?
Oh, these are great. It's super easy, right? When you think of, like, cooking a burger, yeah, it's, like, something that everyone does. When you add stuff like stuffing them, you know, it adds some, you know, it's a little more complex and difficult.
Not your grandpa's burger.
No, but just following the directions in the cookbook. Super easy.
How many photos would you say you have in that book, Seth?
I don't know. Quite a bit.
Dozens.
Dozens, for sure. Yeah. So we're going to cut one of these open.
Oh, it's so juicy.
Not really getting a good cut, but...
No. You're getting a good bite.
Yep.
Ooh.
It's not overcooked.
Smoke
medium.
Ring.
Perfect.
There you go.
It's beautiful.
Someone want to...
I want to have... Yeah, give me a halvesy.
I should have put one in the burger, or in the bun, and then cut it.
Oh, that would have been smart. You're good. Who wants a full burger?
They smell good.
If somebody handed me a full burger, I would have
give them a napkin to go with it.
There's a halvesy.
Just let's do halves, and that way everyone can have
napkins
one.
With right. them, Brody.
All right, guys.
We're getting so
That's beautiful now.
Eating.
No. All right.
So
all right,
good.
Buddy.
You realize that it's hard to talk and host a show when you're eating.
Where'd the damn book go?
Oh, it's right here.
Oh,
it was.
There you have it. We're going to eat our burgers, let you guys all go home that's listening. The Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire. Get a little fire going outside and get some. Thank you, everybody. Two-thirds of Americans are at risk of experiencing an electrical blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. These things are sweet because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable. Go to 4patriots.com/meateater to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/meateater. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.